So welcome, folks. This is the third in the series of Valley Edition programs. Today, of course, we have three panelists before us. Two of them you have seen before in the sense that you have heard them on this program. Mark Kelsey, who is publisher of Frontiersman, Zaz Hollander, who is a freelance journalist, and sitting in for Terry Snyder, a citizen lobbyist, is Charles Hayes, who is a columnist at Frontiersman, among other things. And so we're going to talk about the things happening this week. We've had another week to distance ourselves from the election. We've had some interesting developments in terms of what people are going to do when they go to Juneau, what positions they're going to have, and the rest of it. So maybe we could start with Mark. What do you think is emerging now as we look down toward January and the beginning of the legislature?
Well, certainly it seems to be that the Senate has taken clear shape. Charlie Huggins seems to be, you know, right up front with the organization and the committee chairs and all that. Seems to have pulled in some folks from the other side of the aisle, but it looks like a very motivated group. I expect that they'll get some things done. May not make a lot of people happy, but I definitely think the days of gridlock are behind us.
Okay, so there's going to be motion, whatever that means. Zaz, do you have some opinion about that?
I don't have much to say about the motion. I think that it's not something I'm that knowledgeable about, but I do think that given the gridlock option, it can only get better.
Okay. Charlie, you're a new voice in here, and I know your focus is on a whole variety of things. You've come in at a moment to help out, but what would you say, taking the long view here, rather than just the events that are happening right now, setting up the legislature, where do you see this legislature going, having looked at it in, you know, over a number of years?
Well, I hope they're not going where I think they're headed. I hope we're not going to get a situation where we do this giveaway with the taxation for all companies. And I say that having worked for almost four decades off and on for all companies.
Oh, okay.
If they do make a deal, it better be tied to production. If it's not, it's worthless in my view.
Okay. Okay, and that's, of course, what lies beyond the organization. You know, people will get together. They're now focused on who's going to be a committee chair here, who's going to be in this coalition. And because the Senate has been so prominent, there's not much discussion about the House. Occasionally, there's something happening. And in particular, we have someone going from the local school board. Lynn Gaddis is moving from the school board. And she's taken an interesting position. Any comments about that activity? She's going to be chair of the Education Committee in the House.
And that seems to be a good fit for her with her school board experience. She's got the background and the knowledge and the experience to really, you know, move that committee in positive direction. There does seem to be an issue with her chief of staff. I think it was great that she, you know, stepped down from the school board. But it appears that her chief of staff will be another school board person who is not stepping down. So that may stir the pot a bit. But certainly, you know, Lynn's got the know-how to move that committee forward and do good things.
Okay. Any other comments by people regarding that particular thing happening?
I think that when Lynn was elected to the House, her plan was to remain on the school board at least for a little while. I'm not sure what a little while means. But that she was, once she got the education chair position, that's what motivated her decision to step down from the school board. And so I think in her mind, Eric's employment doesn't constitute a conflict. I'll have to revisit. I think as long as I'll have to revisit legislative employee statutes. The statute is clear on legislators. I'm not sure where it stands on you know, if he's a sitting school board member working with her on MATSU, some kind of a policy that affects the MATSU. It'll be interesting to see what the rules say about that, how they follow that.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to throw out here has to do with the general guide. How, for example, if someone goes off to Juneau, or goes off wherever they go, and they're not present physically at meetings for a period of time, when does that become a problem? We have a number of examples. That's why I bring it up. There on the assembly has been a long sitting assembly member who has spent a considerable amount of time not only out of the borough but out of the country. We also know that Lynn was looking at, if she were to remain on the school board, having to do some of that work probably from a distance. In Anchorage, we've had a recent change, a recommendation, a vote of 7-1, that an individual who is on the school board can only be absent 75% of the time. So the general question is, do you really have to be present in order to be present most of the time, 75% of the time, or 25% of the time to do the people's business? Any comments?
Well, I think it's a case-by-case thing that really, if the voters don't handle it, and in this case you could make the case that it's fine with voters. Mm-hmm. They reelected Mr. Arvin. But at some point, you got to figure that the body is going to address it with a rule change, just like we're seeing on the school board in Anchorage now.
Okay.
It's interesting that they've had a chronically not present person, you know, phoning it in, so to speak. They dealt with it by changing the attendance rule. They say it's okay to teleconference, but it does not count toward fulfilling your attendance requirement. So, you know, that seems to be a de facto call for showing up in person. We'll see how it shakes out here, though.
Okay. Well, there's a little corollary to this. Maybe throw this one out. Locally, both on the assembly and on the school board and other places around the country, there have been questions about whether it is appropriate for someone sitting around the table to have their computer, their smartphone out, texting, tweeting, checking things, getting messages, answering phones, etc., while the meeting is going on. You know, think about that a bit. So if somebody is not at the table, they could be doing anything. So maybe that's one of the reasons why it's been problematical to figure out how to limit what is done there. Any comments?
That issue already came up for the assembly. I'm sorry. The issue came up with the assembly with Mr. Arvin, a year ago, was it? And I believe he was in the room for that meeting. I may be incorrect in that. Obviously, if he isn't in sight, he can be texting. No one knows he's texting. The text messages may be public, but if they aren't saved, I've made a public records request for texts, and they weren't around anymore, so there is nothing to be recovered. And that's a very problematic area of public meetings and public records law in Alaska and many other states, but certainly in Alaska.
Okay, Charlie, do you have anything?
I think it's not only rude, it's very inefficient. We know, for all practical purposes, that multitasking in itself is inefficient. You either do one thing very well or two or three things not so very well. So I think especially in any kind of an assembly meeting like that, it's kind of productive.
Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks for that. Switching topics here, one of the things that has recently happened as a result of the national level and more locally here in the state of Alaska with the governor's announcement, there would not be an effort by the state to develop health insurance pools. And there's been a lot of discussion about that back and forth and all around. Any comments about it? Anything? Maybe, Charlie, do you want to throw off about this?
I think it's very disappointing.
Okay.
Instinctually, I think the governor is just reacting to the right wing of the party. And I believe in the long term he'll probably come around, or his successor will.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that. It's a bit disappointing to me too, but I'm not surprised. I think in general the governor's heart is in the right place. I think he's a stand-up guy, but this does look like it's got some it looks like it's laced with politics, and that's unfortunate for people here who don't have insurance and could use that kind of assist.
Okay.
In principle, though, it's hard to disagree with the unfunded mandate quibble. We saw it with No Child Left Behind in the last president, and that's something that needs to be addressed at the federal level.
Certainly. Zaz, before you throw some comments in here, let's think about the aspect of not being at the table to help design this. I know that there are some people who have been long saying we want to be in there, so if the feds are going to do something, we want a hand in that. What do you think?
Well, I think it's unclear at this point exactly what the feds are going to do. And I know that's one of the questions. Alaska is one of 9 states, I believe, at this point that have opted out of developing a state health insurance exchange. And it isn't clear. One of the complaints that I've read is that the Republican governors involved say they don't know what the feds are going to require them to do. They aren't getting questions promptly. The Obama administration has extended the deadline for states now to respond. That part is unclear. I think that when the governor, he commissioned a study that showed it would cost Alaska, I think, $6.7 million to implement a state exchange. It would insure 77,000 people. I don't know what the comparable numbers are going to be with a federal program. Obviously all the governors involved, at least in part, are making these decisions, it would appear, on an ideological basis. And I think the concern for Alaskans is the governor, maybe Senator Murkowski, commented on the lack of competition here. We've got so few people and small market. But as long as there are at least 2 providers, there's competition, and we have at least 2 providers. So it'll be interesting to see what the feds come out with.
I think on the way over here, I heard that the extension was being extended again, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. So this today is not the end date.
I don't think so. I think the governors around the country are probably looking at each other to see what they're going to do.
Yeah, and one point here, too. I think a lot of people are upset about the idea of paying for somebody else's insurance. Lost in that argument is when people use the emergency room as their insurance policy, we're all paying for it. Let's do it right and give people access to preventive care, too, that will keep them out of the deeper, more expensive health issues.
Okay. Well, that's one of the major issues that's getting quite a bit of play all over the country. The other one has to do with what's been, should I say, euphemistically called the fiscal cliff. Some people have said it's a slope and not really a cliff. But we know that there are negotiations going on in Washington, D.C., as we speak, we hope, that are going to do something about the problem of putting off decisions. I think that might be the best way to describe it. And any comments? Charlie, is this really a fiscal cliff?
I don't know if it's quite as urgent as it's being made out to be, although the stock market might react as if it is so. I'm hopeful about it, that they'll do something, but a little voice tells me that I'm probably being too optimistic. I think they'll probably go right up to the edge. Remains to be seen. I change my mind about it about every day.
Okay. Mark?
Yeah, it seems that expecting window dressing is probably reasonable, but clearly something more than window dressing needs to be done. This needs to be taken seriously. And, I think it's all about electing smart, statesman-like people who are not wrapped around the axle with their party politics. We certainly don't have that now, but that seems to me to be the answer going forward.
Okay. Saz?
I don't have that much to add. I mean, this is the first real indication of how the second term of the Obama administration will play with a slightly changed Congress. Maybe Obama will be a little savvier and the Congress will be a little more willing to give.
Okay, well, we are a little closer to having to make some decision about something, given that this is just the beginning of the next 4 years. Okay, time will tell.
Well, and does the president has he got a rightful claim to having political capital? He certainly thinks he does, and you could make the case he does just by virtue of the election results. But then you've got a bunch of people in Congress who say they have a mandate too. So it sounds like more gridlock, but we can be hopeful.
Okay. Well, one of the things that affects life locally here, of course, is the weather. We had that severe flooding that was a result of a lot of rain coming down at one time. And I noted that there's a report that up in Talkeetna, the cold has caused some probably less severe conditions and ice on the river. But the potential exists for some continued, maybe smaller amount of flooding. However, today the wind's blowing. Any personal comments about the wind? Maybe we can throw that in right now.
You got to share your story, Charlie.
On the way over here to the studio, I had a rock hit my windshield that was airborne from the wind, not from another vehicle. Made a little ding in my windshield. I think it's the first time since I've been in Alaska that's ever happened.
Okay. How about the other two here? Anything about the wind that you think is notable?
I can't top the rocket in the windshield from thin air. That's
I was in a typhoon once in the Far East, and I had a rock hit a building I was in, but that's nothing.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Well, what we do note is that early this morning, 9 a.m., we can tell you, we reported from downtown Palmer that the wind was going at about maybe 1.5 miles per hour. Within an hour and a half, it was gusting, and if you stepped out there, you could be blown away. And so maybe that's a metaphor. Right now, and I bring it up, right now we have a period of almost quiet. It's time to get ready for Thanksgiving, and there are a lot of groups that are working to make Thanksgiving not only a personally satisfying time as a holiday, but also helping others in the valley. And I know there was a fairly extensive article about a number of those efforts in the Frontiersman today. Mark, do you want to comment about what you see as happening there?
Well, I think it's great that we live in a place that has so many, you know, nonprofits who are willing to help out at times like this. There's so many ways for people to give and so many places for people in need to go. It really is encouraging and heartwarming to live in a community like that.
Okay. Zaz, do you notice anything different about this year in terms of what you've been able to observe as people getting ready for the holiday season?
Nothing remarkably different. I mean, to echo Mark's comment, I think especially with the lack of a formal large shelter, we don't have something like anything like Beans here. We kind of have to rely on ourselves, our nonprofits, our religious organizations to feed the less fortunate among us. It would be great if there was another layer. Another safety net out there as well.
Okay. And Charlie, any comments?
Only thing I've noticed having to do with the economy, I guess, is that Christmas items being in the stores before Halloween.
Well, we did report, for example, a part of the story that we read this morning that dealt with a local large store that was beginning the Christmas sales late in the day on Thanksgiving Day at 9 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the takeoff for that was just how do we celebrate holidays? Do we celebrate by working and getting time and a half or double time? Or do we take a moment and pause in this headlong rush?
And,
go ahead, Charlie.
And also Walmart employees are threatening a countrywide strike on Black Friday if that goes into effect. I heard that on radio this morning,
wow.
too.
Oh, okay. That would change the plans of many people, no doubt about that. Well, this is the time when we usually take a look and say, okay, we've covered some of the obvious topics. There are things out there that deal with the economy and deal with the political process. We know the Assembly will be meeting next week. It meets on Tuesday. The school board, however, has chosen to take some time during this beginning holiday season, and they will be back in business on the 5th. Anything that you see individually that you would suggest is going to be a prominent issue coming up in the next week or so? Take a moment there, because it's one of those situations where we say, okay, things are going along okay. It seems like there's not much appearing here. But we mentioned early this morning that a bit to the east of us, in the Middle East, there are massing of troops, for example, on the border with Gaza. The Israeli troops are there. There have been rockets fired across that border. And sometimes when we sit here, we say, well, the wind is blowing, but it's pretty calm. Things are going okay. We also note that recently the price of gas has declined a bit. You can go into Anchorage, you can be out here in the valley, and you can find regular fuel for in the 380s, 385, 386, which is a little bit lower than it's been recently. However, remember that even though we've increased production here in the United States, there's still a lot of oil that comes in, and more importantly, a psychological factor at work. So should that heat up a bit, life here in the valley will be affected by something thousands of miles away. So just thinking about it as we head toward Thanksgiving here, any thoughts about any other places around the world or around the state or around the valley that you think might have some effect upon people who are living here?
Well, I have a very sort of a hyper-local example and nothing having to do with Israel and the Gaza Strip. I saw that the Matanuska River is still in the news in terms of dealing with maybe structural fixes, dredging, and those are proposals that have been around since I was reporting on that issue in the mid-aughts. It's such a problematic issue because you've got this huge glacial river that swings back and forth from bank to bank over the decades, and you have a bunch of people living on the river whose homes are in danger, and you have people who maybe sell gravel who are saying, look, let's just take some stuff out of the river, we make money, the homes are saved, problem solved. And If that were true, but from what little I've been able to research back in the aughts, once you tinker with one end of the river, some other end of the river goes sideways. So it's much more complicated than it appears on the surface, unfortunately.
In some places, it looks really close to the highway already, too.
Yeah.
When also, one of the things that we know is that in a recent meeting, the mayor of the borough did continue that discussion about essentially mining gravel out of the river as a win-win for everybody. But you're suggesting, Zaz, that maybe a little bit more complicated than that.
There's some hydrology at play.
Okay. Mark, any thoughts about things coming up?
Well, I would say to add on to the river discussion, at some point we need to, think about the public money that's going into this. When do we cut our losses? When do we tell private property owners, you're on your own? It's certainly an unsustainable thing. This can't just keep going on. And I got to believe at some point people are going to squawk about it.
Okay. Charlie?
I can't think of anything in particular, except maybe to say that there's always something. There'll always be something unexpected, so expect the unexpected, I suppose.
That's probably a safe way to be poised. And maybe that's the point of some of the discussion. I know it's occurred around the assembly table and other places, that no matter how much we plan or how much we think we're setting things in motion, the unintended consequences that come from those things are very often reminding us how little control we have over all the details of life.
Right now here in the valley, there's probably a lot of people getting close to being exposed to a pipe freezer because we don't have a blanket of snow.
Mm. Right. A very different year than last year. By this time last year, there was considerable snow on the ground, and it was doing its job. It was insulating. And yet this year, if you escaped last year, you think things are going okay, no problem. because of the lack of that snow, we have that problem. Okay, well, I've enjoyed this little discussion, walked through some of the topics that are important here, and I thank Mark Kelsey, publisher of The Frontiersman, Zaz Hollander, independent journalist, and Charlie Hayes in particular for coming in at the last moment and sitting in here. Any last comments you'd like to make?
No, great to be back in the studio, especially alongside Charlie Hayes here, and of course always good to be with Zaz as well.
All right. We hope Terry's back next week. No offense, Charlie.
None taken.
Okay. Well, folks, another week wrapped up.